This morning, if you would, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 5. And I want to look at Joshua as he's preparing to come in to take Jericho. At this time, Moses had died. Joshua has now been appointed and by God to take over. The people had recognized that. They'd come through the Jordan, celebrated the Passover. They'd had some wonderful experiences. But now the real battles begin. And Joshua, it appears here the night before, he's to go in to take Jericho, and the battle is to start there of going into Canaan. There, Joshua, he's out looking at, probably evaluating how he's going to go through this battle, what his strategy will be, how he'll go about the attack. And here, of course, Joshua, some 40 years earlier, he had been in the land. He had been one of the 12 tribes that had been sent in to spy out the land. Now, they came back, as you'll recall, 10 of the 12 spies, they all came back and said, oh, it's an incredible land. It is truly flowing with milk and honey. There are houses we didn't build. There's, you know, oliveyards and vineyards we didn't plant. There's flocks that we obviously didn't raise. There's wells that we didn't dig. I mean, here are these people that had gone from slavery and then brought out with from Moses through the Red Sea, and then spent the next 40 years there in the wilderness, living in tents, traveling around. Now to have a home, now to have a well, now to have flocks, now to have land, now to have, all these blessings. They just looked at milk and honey and incredible land. But 10 of them came back and they said, we all saw that, but they're giants in the land. They're huge. They're warriors. We're not warriors. We're slaves that have just been, now shoveling around in the desert. We're not prepared. We'll be destroyed if we go in there. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and they said that we saw the land too, and it is as they say, and there are giants, but we saw the Lord. And the Lord will give us the land. We're convinced of it. Well, they believed the 10 rather than the 12, and they ended up, through unbelief, dying off out in the wilderness. Joshua has now been appointed, and the only two that went out, who are now going actually into the land, Joshua and Caleb, are there. Joshua has taken over. But now the reality, now the rubber is kind of meeting the road, you might say. What he's been believing God can do for 40 years, what he sensed about him, now it's actually time to actually enter into the battle. So here in Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and he said, art thou for us or for adversaries? And he said, neither. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And he said unto him, what sayest, my Lord, unto his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe off from thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thee, unto thine hand, Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men thereof. And ye shall compass the city, and all the men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets, ram's horns, and 7 on the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, dear Lord, you'd open our hearts to it. Lord, every one of us, we have battles. There's nothing unique about Joshua and Jericho. Lord, the word of God is a lamp to our feet and light under our path, Lord. The things that Joshua had to learn, they're not just history. Not merely a story. He's our mentor. He's our teacher. We're to learn from him in our battles, in our Jerichos, in our struggles that we have right before us right now in our lives. We pray, Lord, you'll open your word and open our heart. Teach us some truth that would become a blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we have Joshua now. He's about to go into the land, as we said. And as he is, he's, you know, there no doubt, you know, he's finding there as he's traveling the night before out, strategy. How are we going to go about this? How are we going to head in? How are we going to take them? How do you in the world hear these giants, these Canaanites, these people of Jericho? They've been warriors all of their lives. They're living in an incredibly fortified city. And now we here, a bunch of slaves, and living now just going pillar to post for 40 years. Now we've come in, and now all of a sudden we've got the battle of our life. And yet here, one of the things that Joshua had to learn, that every one of us have to learn in our lives, because I hope as we see this, we'll realize we all have our Jerichos. We all have our Jerichos. On one hand, God looks at us when we come to Christ. There's one aspect of the Christian life that it is truly, as the children of Israel went into the promised land, it is a land of milk and honey. It's a land there where God gives us houses we didn't build, you know, olive years and vineyards we didn't plant, wells we didn't dig. Where there is, he gives us so many blessings. God wants to watch over our lives. He wants to give us a home and marriage and family, and he wants to bless us in incredible ways. And he does that. And they're all gifts from him. But it's also something in the midst of it. As God told the children of Israel, as in the process you are inheriting the land, there'll be many battles. God told him, he made it very clear, the land is filled with Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites, Jezurites, Moabites, Edomites, Amalekites, Termites, all of them. They were, you know, throughout the land, everywhere, you know, with it. And he says, you will have these battles, but you will also know a rest that nobody else in the world knows. You'll know a peace. You'll have a well to draw from. The world doesn't know it, refreshing waters like I will give to you. You won't know, the world doesn't know on how I'll provide and how I'll bless and the things I'll do, like you will know if you trust me. I will bring you through these things. But here is the children of Israel about to go in. And now Joshua is about to go fight this battle. He has some lessons to learn, like we all learn, not just once, but I believe many times in our lives. And here God gives him, in a sense, if you want to call it a formula, I don't know, I'm not crazy about words like formulas, but there's some things here that Joshua had to learn, like we all have to learn, that if we learn them, they help so much. And that is the very first thing that God wanted them. Here we have, you know, Jesus wanting to leave him in, wanting to give him the land. And, you know, there is a gift. He says, there is Jericho. He says, that have I given unto thee this day. It's yours now. It's a gift for me. It's not going to be your battle. That's not the real battle. Here Joshua has to find out what the real battle of life is. And here, you know, we have a man, if you know Joshua at all, you know already, he was a man for many years, he'd been filled with the Spirit. For many years, he was a man of great wisdom. For many years, he believed God, he trusted God. He had a great love for God. And yet now here, as Joshua is about to go in now, you know, to this battle that he has, though on one hand, he's facing the battle of his life. He's been looking forward to it for 40 years. And yet things have changed a bit. Things have changed a bit. Though when he came in 40 years earlier with Caleb and 10 others, you know, there he was, a young man. There he was, just kind of footloose and fancy free, you might say, just going out. And he saw the Lord. He saw the land. He saw all this. And he knew, oh, God can give it to us. There's no question about that. But things have changed a little bit in the last 40 years. And that is that now, back when he did that, all the weight of it was on Moses. Moses was the one that was to rally the troops. Moses was the one to command them and to lead them in. Moses was the one that would say, if we do this, God is going to bless or lead or guide or whatever it is. You know, Joshua was a counselor. He was a friend. He was an encourager. Moses, believe me, God's there. Moses, it's powerful. Moses, it's wonderful. But now in the last 40 years, there's been a shift. Moses is dead. Now all the weight of it is on Joshua. Now it's square on his shoulders. Now all of these people, they're on Joshua's shoulders. All their homes, their marriages, their families, their children, all of their futures. Now, instead of just simply being a friend or a counselor, now he is the leader. And now the responsibility falls square on him. And though the task hadn't changed at all of taking Jericho, you know, the perspective it has. Now the weight of it is upon him. You ever noticed with all of our lives how things that were so simple and so easy at one point in your life, they can get more difficult when times go on. You know, I mean, and as you mature, as you grow, the simple little areas of life, you know, right now, many of you have your children over in Sunday school. And they'll come out and they'll have little finger paints or little Bible stories, and they'll have David and Goliath and on how God can kill all the enemies and how he'll give you great victory. And they can sing these songs. And with simple childlike faith, they can look and say, God can do anything. He can do anything at all. And they believe it with all of their heart. But the weight of it isn't on them yet. The test of it isn't there. The strategy is being given to them. The encouragement is being given to them. But the weight has yet to come in all of their lives, as it does with all of us. And now here Joshua, he has gone through this. Now the weight of it is on him. And what it happened to Joshua is common to all of us. We all go through this. And all we go through different stages in our life, different things, you know, to that we need to grow in. And here what was Joshua now with the weight of it, though what he knew of God before in his life, it's no longer sufficient. Now with the perspective of change, the responsibility has changed. Now the knowledge of his power and of his presence and his sufficiency has got to grow with it as well. Because now Moses or Joshua isn't just simply spying out the land. Now he's going in. You ever remember, those of us who were married, remember how when you were a child, again, life was so simple. I grew up on the West Coast, and we did a lot of surfing. I didn't live that far from the ocean. And wasn't it all uncommon for somebody to call on a Saturday morning, hey, the surf's up, you want to go? Yes. 5 minutes later, seemed like the board's in the car, you're on your way out, boom, you're off surfing for the day. Don't think a thing about it. Well, then you grow up, you get married, you have some children, you get some responsibilities, you got a business, you know, around you, you got, you know, these things now to handle. And now somebody comes along, calls, hey, surf's up, you want to go surfing? Yes, of course, when? Now. You say, now? You mean like now? You got to be kidding me. I haven't even started the paperwork. I haven't even, you know, looked for permits to be able to go, to get the time off. I've got requisitions to fill out. I don't even know if my wife will let me have the car. I don't, you know, I mean, next thing you know, you've got to be kidding me. Give me a week. You know, I mean, everything changes. It gets much more complicated, doesn't it? And it seems like here, Joshua, maybe a lot of those simple little wonderful bedtime prayers that you have as a little child, that you so trustingly prayed, you know, now they grow in intensity. You know, instead of, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, and this I pray my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, this I pray my soul to take. Nice little prayer, and maybe, you know, many of us prayed it as little children or something. But then you had a wife and children and business, maybe a loss of job, upside down in the house, problems at the bank, health's not good, and a slug of other problems. And now your prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, and this I pray my soul to take. Now, finish the job. You're killing me little by little. Just can't you just finish it? I don't want to wake up, you know. You know, you found at one point life was so simple, but somehow or another now everything outweighs your experience and knowledge of God. The weight you were able to carry in your youth, you know, now to carry it. The responsibility in Christ, the maturity, it now gets tested, and God wants it to grow and grow all the way through our life. And I think Joshua, here this is being tested with him. He's looking at Jericho. Somehow or another he seems to be focused on it. The battle and the stress of it. It's come down to it. Jericho is there. I want the land. We want the blessing, but I've got to go through Jericho to get it. There's no way around it. And he's like, how am I going to handle this? And there's the weight of it probably is on him to the degree that all of a sudden the Lord of all people appears to him. There all of a sudden there's a man, his sword is drawn before, you know, it's drawn out of his hand. Judge, we startled. He's like, hey, art thou for us or for adversaries? Whose side are you on? And he's kind of startled and take back, trying to figure out, are you here to help or not? Have you ever noticed when you're under stress, and you're under pressure, almost everybody is one or the other. Are you here to help me, or are you a problem? I mean, everybody, there's no neutral position when you're in trouble. Either help me or get out of here. You know, I don't need you. I need help, and so tell me who you're voting for, and I'll decide what to do with you then. But here that seems like the Lord, instead of there he is, and instead of being the answer, he's part of the problem. Whose side are you on? You know, and here are the forest of our adversaries. And here Joshua, here the Lord, he answers him. And, it, you know, Joshua, the issue isn't am I for you or for your adversaries. It's not who, you know, whether I'm on your side or the other side, but maybe I need to introduce myself to you. I happen to be commander-in-chief of all of the armed forces of heaven and earth. All angelic powers, everything in all of eternity, they answer to me. And Joshua, the issue is, am I for you or against you? The issue is, Joshua, are you with me? Are you on my side? You see, what's going to really determine, you know, the real issue in our life isn't he for me or against me? The issue is, am I with him? The issue there was Joshua, as he realized, he's startled and he's taken back, and all of a sudden he realized, oh God, I didn't recognize you. And he turns to him, you know, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to take off your shoe. The place whereon you stand, it's holy. Here Joshua, you know, he stood before the one, you know, there that he came to realize, and we all need to realize that this is the battle. This is the battle. It isn't Jericho. The battle in all of my life is, do I truly realize that he is the one that's going to determine all the success or failure in my life? That where he's at is going to determine the outcome of every battle, of every trial, of every test. They're right here. Here's the battle, Joshua. He looks over at Jericho and he says to him, that have I given unto thee. That's not a battle. Jericho's not a battle. It's a gift. If you win this battle, if you can survive this battle, if you understand this battle, if you know what it is to take your shoe off your foot, to bow before me, to yield over to me. If you can give me your heart, your love, your trust, your adoration, your faith, you've won already. Here's where you'll win or you'll lose, Joshua. All power in heaven and earth is mine. And wonderfully, of course, Joshua did so. And there he went on, you know, and kept his eyes on him. For 7 days, the Lord had him, you know, day by day go around, you know, the city, looking there, not at Jericho, but at the Lord, at the heart, at the ark. And here God wanted to teach him, I'm never your problem. I'm your solution to all of your problems. And oh, how that we need to do that. Maybe this morning, I have to tell you, one of the things I can guarantee you, I don't have to know anybody, know you have Jerichos in our life. We all do. God has many blessings he wants to give to us, and that he gives to us, and that he cares for us. But he also gives us many Jerichos. He will make sure in this life, you know, that we just want to come into the, I just want milk and honey. I want a house I didn't build. I want wells I don't have to sweat. I want olive years. I want vineyards. I want flocks. I want this. God, please give them to me. But God says, well, I will. But I also want you to know that the land is filled with Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites, you know, Jezreelites, Moabites, Amalekites. You'll go from Jericho to Jericho to Jericho, from battle to battle to battle. But if you trust me, you'll have the rest. You'll have the blessing. You'll have all of that as well. Perhaps some of us sit here and you can even remember as a child. You remember your childlike little faith. You can even remember there times in your life when you could just sit there and sing like a little child. You'd pray. God could do anything. He was bigger than anything. He was humongous. He was powerful. He was glorious. But perhaps during the years, somehow or another, he hasn't grown, but the problems have. The trials have. And you need to come to the place where God would say to you, I'm bigger than them all. You've forgotten that. Take off your shoe. The place where you stand, it's holy. You fight this battle. You let me be bigger than all of them. You let me be Lord. You let me be God. You let me realize I created the heavens and the earth. I spoke and the worlds come into existence, let alone Jericho's come and go. And when we would realize, sometimes God may be saying, return to your first love. Bow before me. That's what here Joshua had to be reminded, and so too do we all. But it wasn't only simply there that he had to know what it was, you know, to worship God in fullness. God also wanted him to walk in obedience. He gave him some very, very, very clear commands. I want you to obey precisely what I'm telling you in verse 6 of chapter 3, verse 3 of chapter 6. And he says, and you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and you'll go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the priest shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend every man straight before him. Here he's seven times. Now after he tells him, after he gets things right, he says, now, Joshua, I want complete obedience. Seven times, you shall, the priest shall, the people shall. Here's a number, here's a process, here's exactly what I want you to do. You're not going to determine yourself, oh, God's going to give it to me, therefore I'm just going to go do what I want. No. You'll handle this my way. You will wait upon me and do exactly what it is. You know, the interesting thing about us, this is me as much as anybody else, on how much I notice about my life, the capacity at times to truly worship in fullness, to truly have my heart melted before Him. I can come in, I can sing, and I can worship, and somehow or another everything can go away. And you realize, I belong here, Lord. Why was I carrying this weight? Why was I letting this trouble me? And I can worship. You know, why was I letting this problem over here become bigger than you, and I getting caught up in the anxiety, the stress of it, and carrying that? I'm sorry. And I can do that. It's not that hard to do as a child of God. I'm familiar with His presence and His power, and it can overcome me. I can worship in fullness, but yet I also have the incredible capacity to walk right out after that experience and just pick up whatever I laid down in the process once again, and I'm going to handle it. I'll handle this. I've got my own way of going about it. I love the Lord. The Lord loves me. He'll work it out, and bet I can go out and be disobedient. But God has a precise way with our battles. And we all have battles. We all have our Jerichos. Your Jericho might be your marriage. Might be your husband. Might be your wife. Might be your family. Might be your children. Might be their rebellion or their struggle or the tensions and the rebellion that's going on in the home. It might be your health. Might be, you know, the career. You might be upside down in the house. You've lost a job. I mean, these things that, you know, on one hand we can come in and say, God, I just give the marriage to you. I give my wife to you. Lord, forgive me. I just love you. And you can calm your whole spirit down. And yet you can get right up and go out in the car and then tell your wife what you think she needs to hear. And you wonder why God didn't change the woman. You know, and something. How many times we've got to tell this woman something? But did God tell you to tell her that? Well, somebody needed to tell her. You know, that's a fine little plan you got there. Has it worked yet? No, but I figure by 2,000 times, the hard-headed woman's got to learn something. You know, or something. Or we realize, God, how do you want? What is your strategy? What do you want to say about my child? What do you want to say about how these things are handled? I want to do precisely what it is. We can worship in fullness and go right out and be disobedient. And we can actually justify it. The amazing thing is so many times, you know, we can find even a verse. You ever notice how when there's something you want to prove, you can find a verse for it in the Bible. You know, we're like the old story of the fellow there. He's trying to find out God's will, and he opens his Bible and he puts out, God, show me. Puts his finger in the Bible and it comes out and it says, Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, oh no, that can't be it. So he closed the Bible and there's got to be another verse. Puts his finger in and says, go and do thou likewise. No, no, no. He shuts the Bible. So I got to try a third time. Opens up, puts his finger. What thou doest, do quickly. You know, or I mean, you can just pick something here and pick something there. That's not obedience. That's just me trying to find a way to, in a verse or something, to get done what I want. But when we know what it is to really, you know, because we can all do that. It reminds me of the story of the hillbilly fellow that comes out of the Ozarks. Love God. He wanted to be in ministry. Not the sharpest tack in the box, but at any rate, he goes to his pastor and he says, I want to be in ministry. And he says, well, Sam, do you know your Bible? And he says, oh, I know it from lid to lid. Oh, that's good. He says, that's good. He says, is there one part of the Bible you like? He says, I like the parables. Oh, that's good. He says, what's your favorite parable? He says, well, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Oh, okay. He says, would you tell me that? Tell me that parable. He says, oh, Well, once there was a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up and they choked him. Well, he went on his way, and he didn't have any money, but he met the queen of Sheba, and she gave him 1,000 talents of gold and 100 changes of raiment. Well, he got on a chariot, and he drove furiously, and when he was driving under a big juniper tree, his hair got caught in the limb of a tree. As he hung there many days, the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink, and he ate 5,000 loaves and 2 fishes. And on one night when he was hanging there asleep, his wife Delilah comes along and cuts off his hair, and he drops and he falls to the ground. But he got up and he went on, and it began to rain. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. He hid himself in a cave, and he lived on locusts and wild honey. Well, then he went on and he met a servant who said, "Come to my house at my supper." Well, he made an excuse. He says, "No, I won't. I have married a wife and I can't go." Well, the servant went out in the highways and the hedges, and he compelled him to come. And after supper, he went on, and he comes down to Jericho. And when he got there, he looked up, and he saw that old Queen Jezebel sitting way up high in a window, and she laughed at him. So he says, "Throw her down out of the window," and they threw her down 70 times 7. And of the fragments, they picked up 12 baskets full besides the other women and children. And he said, "Now, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, whose wife do you think she will be in the judgment day?" Now, all of that is quite biblical. It just doesn't fit. But you can make things fit. You know, and sometimes, you know, you follow somebody like this guy. And if he's a pastor, it would be exciting church, no doubt about that, to go to. But I don't think I'd want to go where he's leading me. And so also when I don't just do what God says, when he comes and I worship, it's "Oh, glad we had a wonderful time to worship. Now go do what you think you ought to do." No, God, what precisely do you want me to do with this Jericho? What do you want me to say, you know, in this marriage? What do you want me? What are your words? What is your plan? What is your process of dealing with this? And here, that's the great issue there. When we find there in life where we've got to turn in absolute obedience, 7 steps. Joshua, I want you to do this, and you're going to follow, you're going to take the ark, and the priests are going to bear the ark, and here's the number of them, and you're going to get into all the men of war, you're going to go around that city once a day for 6 days. And the 7th day, you're going to go around it 7 times, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. And then after that, they're going to take the horns, they're going to blow the horns. And then at that point, after they hear the great blast, everybody is going to shout, and then all of them are going to go up. Very clear. Not just kind of, "Well, just go down there and just have a party, and the city is yours." Had they not done what they were told, they would have never defeated Jericho. It wasn't just the worship. It wasn't the fact that he could bow and worship and love God. It had to be followed with obedience. It had to be followed with a full trust. And in the process of it, though, notice, God had him doing an incredible thing. He just says, "Take the ark out there and worship." He just says, "Take the ark out there and bring all the people and praise and sing." No, he said, "I want you to take the ark, and of all things, every day for 7 days, I want you to take that ark right around Jericho." Right around the very battle itself, the very thing that's weighing you down, the very Jericho you got, the very problem, the very struggle. I want you to put the two right next to each other, and I want you to learn to set your eyes on one and not on the other. He lets them have this incredible distraction. The greatest fear of their life, the most impregnable city in the world, perhaps believed to be the oldest city in the world. Fortified incredibly. Archaeologists tell us that the mound, or the tell as they're called over there, of Jericho, it was surrounded by this great earthen rampart or an embankment. And there it had a stone wall retaining base that was some 12 to 15 feet high. On top of that was a mud brick wall 6 feet thick and about 20 to 26 feet high. At the crest of the embankment, a similar mud brick wall, whose base was roughly 46 feet above ground level, outside the retaining wall. And here we have this thing, 6 and 12 or 20 and 46. I mean, you can imagine, he said, "I want you to walk around this incredible fortress. Something so towering, so high. Go right around the thing." And here, of course, it tells us there that everyone, they shut the city down. Everybody is waiting there for the battle to come in. You realize at the top of this wall, it is filled with the enemy. all of their soldiers just looking down, waiting to shoot, waiting to fight, waiting for the battle to get going. Now, their sights set on you, every weapon they had focused on, you know, on you. And yet there he says, now, you keep your eyes on me. You follow me. Maybe when a little kid is in Sunday school, you get something to sing about. But now when in life, what is just bearing down on you is the bank, or it's your health, or it's the doctor, it's this, or it's that. And the struggle is saying, I'm going to get you. I'm going to break you. You know, I mean, the struggle that could happen in the family, or the children, or addictions. And you keep you up at night, and your heart is aching and weeping and crying, and it says, I'll get to you. And every step you take, it seems to shout down and look at you and mock you. I've got you in my sights. And there you're going around, and where God is saying, follow me. Look at me. Do it every day. Day after day after day. And then the seventh day, you'll do it seven times. And then you'll wait for the... And then at that point there, something will happen. I don't know what happened the first day. I don't know what happened the second day. Maybe the first day as they went out, we're done for it. We won't get halfway around the city. We won't survive. War will break out. They come back at the end of the day. Wow, we're alive. The battle didn't happen. Whew. Probably tomorrow. They go out the next day. They get around. There's a peace. There's the ark. There's the Lord. The third day turns the fourth, the fifth. And little by little, the sense there of the presence of God begins to overtake this incredibly huge enemy. And they find there a sense of rest. Something there through the process that wasn't there the first or the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth. But finally the last day is they go around and says, now you go around this seven times. You go around there, just going around there. And then at that point, you're going to hear that, you know, they're going to blow these trumpets, these priests. And when they let go of that, then you're going to let go with a shout. All you've got. And the walls will fall down. You know, I think maybe the first day, these walls will never fall down. Second day, yeah, I don't see how they could ever fall. Third day, have you ever heard of walls falling? No, I've never. I mean, these, you know, little by little, somehow or another, by the seventh day, there was something so powerful. God will do it. God will do it. And I'll tell you, one of the things, as I said, I believe that God has destined for every one of us Jerichos. He has them for you. You're in them right now. If you're, I don't care where you are in the land. Hopefully God's blessed you and you got a well maybe right now that's bringing out nice water. You've got a crop that's growing. Hopefully there's many areas of your life that are wonderful. But if you will stop, there's a Jericho somewhere. There's things there. You're not in heaven yet. Things are far from done. There's things that God wants to do. And when we can look there, say, God, show me my Jericho. And show me exactly what to do. I want to win this one. And I'll walk around it day after day. I'll wait for you. I'll do it in silence. Here they were absolutely silently. Not a word. And when they went around it, the record has it, God says, you just be quiet. I don't need your counsel. I don't need your opinion. I don't want to hear your story. I don't want to hear what's going to do it. I want you to be quiet and just walk. Look at me. Wait upon me. You know, God has this incredible thing in life where He looks at us and His great desire, He wants to give us, you know, the houses and the wells and the blessings and all of these things. Of course He does. But what is more important to God than giving us those things? Is that there is something far greater than those things, and that is God Himself. He wants to give us Himself, but He wants us to need Him. He wants us to want Him more than our Jerichos. He wants us to be able to, in life, we realize, God, You can do anything. You will do anything. And then when we can come to Christ and say, Jesus, I give it all to You. Be Lord. Be King. Be Master. Take my Jericho. And help me to be quiet. And then lastly, here are these people that when you can, you know, worship in fullness and you can walk in obedience, then you can rejoice in faith. Because then finally there, when it came down after this process, there was that moment in time, He says, you shout and the walls will fall. But this isn't the walls will fall and you shout. No, you shout, you rejoice, and the walls will fall. In other words, there the reality settled in before they had the answer, before Jericho was defeated. They'd already experienced the victory in their own heart. That's what God wants for all of us. Well, maybe the marriage, the home, the children, the career, the health, whatever it is, it's unresolved. It's still there. It's still real. And yet when a person there is finding they're worshiping right, they're obeying, there's something that settles in where before the answer, they can realize, I don't need the answer now as desperately as I did. I found a greater answer. I found a joy. I've already won. It's done. It's sealed in heaven. And maybe it hasn't happened on earth yet. But it's as good as. That's faith. Neither we walk by faith, the Bible says, not by sight. The realization, God, you will take care. Maybe some of you right now, you've got children in rebellion. You've got issues there with career and these things that weigh heavy. But I'll tell you, if we can come and we know what it is to bow and we know what it is to obey, and we do it and we walk through these processes, there's that point that comes. You all can almost say, Lord, I'd certainly like to be alive to see my son come home. But I don't need to be. You're going to bring him home. Thank you. Lord, I'd like to be around. I'd like to see this happen. That would be quite a joy to see it by sight. But by faith, I've already got it. You're wonderful. That's maturity in Christ. That's where He wants to bring every one of us. While the battle's in the next, before the next Jericho comes, somehow or another, before it is, before you have to walk around that trial or this struggle or that, there's something He's teaching you in your life. Like, all right, I don't know what city's next. I don't know what battle is next. I don't know what there is. I just know there's many. But in the midst of it, I don't have to keep on going through them to know how powerful He is, how wonderful He is. When I get to the place that when somebody says, oh, have you heard? And what about this? What about this? We say, oh, really? My, we must get down there. Let's go. It'll be quite exciting. Wouldn't you like to be there? Wouldn't you like to be somebody that you actually almost, you know, look at the trials that have yet to come. And you can rest entirely in Him, knowing before you even face them, He's already won it. He's already won the victory. That's what it is in life that's so wonderful. I think one of the things I love about being a grandparent, when I was, you know, when you're a parent, you know, and your kids go through stuff and it's your first time, you're frantic. Oh, no, this is terrible. Oh, God, we're going to die. The kids are going to kill me for sure. He told me that himself, you know, and stuff. And I saw his eyes when he said it. He meant it, you know, or whatever. He's going to kill me in my sleep, he said, too. So you sleep with one eye open, you know, or a while. And I only have one eye, so it's tough for me. But at any rate, here he's, you know, you go through these things. And then that kid grows up. God turns him around through the years. And then one day that kid is calling you. Dad, he's going through with his kid. This is a true story, by the way. He's going through it with his kid. Dad, you can't believe what's going on. You know, and then literally, Dad, yes. You're laughing right now, aren't you? I'm on the phone. Well, kind of. But Dad, this is real. I know it was real with you too. But look what God's done. I don't have to see him do it in your boy yet. I've already seen him do it. Give him to him. Give your Jericho to him. And so whatever your bare Jericho is today, can you come to Jesus and put it there and say, Jesus, teach me to worship you. Teach me to bow down. I want to win it right here on this holy ground. I want to win it there before you, not out there. Not by my strength or by my words or by my cunning or by my genius or any of that stuff. It's never worked. But by your power, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, you win it. I'll bow down, and then I'll walk around it. I'll walk around it with however high the walls, however defeating they accuse, however hopeless it seems. I'll walk around it until one day I can see you and I'm not deterred. And then I'll rejoice and I'll shout. And the walls will fall. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love and your power. I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you that today that you have given to all of us Jerichos. Not because you don't love us, but because you do love us. Not because you want to see us scared and frightened and under stress, living with pressure, but because you designed yourself to handle all of that. We were never to carry it. We were never to fight them. That was never your plan. It was our ego that ran away from you that has now taken all this stuff upon ourselves. Help us, Jesus, to humble ourselves, to bow before you, and to say, Lord, it's yours. It's truly yours. Keep me here. And then, Lord, when I get up and walk out to my car, or I go home, or I go to the office, or I go to wherever it is, and you have me walk around it, help me to keep my eyes off of it and on you. And Lord, if I've got to walk it around it again and again and be reminded again and again, day after day, until I follow you in such a way that I'm ready to rejoice before the answer comes and I can shout for joy, he's won. Lord, we want you to have that victory in us, where you bring us to the place that even before things have happened, the victory is settled in our hearts. Jesus, have that place. And maybe even while we're praying, maybe some of you today, there is very clearly a Jericho you're fighting. And today you need to say, Jesus, I bow before you. And I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do it tomorrow and the next and the next and the next day. And I want to come to that place of rejoicing. If that's where you're at, I'd like you just to lift your hand up and down. Whatever your Jericho is, before God, to say, this is it. I got the memo today, Lord. I love you. Any others? I see hands all over. Many hands. Jesus, I thank you for your love and your power. And Lord, I pray that each one that has just lifted up their heart and their hand, and maybe others that haven't, but nonetheless, they know the Jericho. Lord, help us not just simply to have a wonderful experience here, but when we get in our car and we go home. And tomorrow, and the next, Jesus, may we look at you, may we follow you, may we trust you, and may the shout from the walls that say our destruction is coming, may those voices grow dimmer and dimmer, and the voice of heaven become more and more powerful. We ask it, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen.